add that about it being well with that woman who had faith that God would do right and for her. And so turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 15, verse 1. And Exodus 15, and then what, you've got that, you're holding that there, then let's go over to Hebrews. We're doing this series in Hebrews chapter 11, and instead of calling it the Hall of Faith or the Heroes of Faith, I've chosen to call it the Cloud of Witnesses. In chapter 12, we see it referring, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and these witnesses are witnesses of God's greatness and His goodness. So it's not about those individuals, what they did in their life. It is what God was doing through them. And so they are witnesses of what, of God's great work through them. So as a young person, I wanted to be a hero of faith. That was before I was saved. Even before I was saved, I wanted to do God's bidding. And I think of a lot of lost people, they can have a notion of God and they want to do right. As a lost person, I was thinking of what I could do for God. Well, I totally missed the point. It's not what we can do for God. It's what He's done for us. Number one, He created us. He's given you life. All the abundant provision that He's given to us, and even those, we think of those that are in difficult times, and of course a lot of people bring that up. You know, how come God causes suffering? Well, He doesn't. A curse came upon all mankind and to all creation because of our sin through Adam. Adam sinned, and the curse was brought on. And so, yes, it's all because of us and because of our sin that there's a curse on this world, but there can be new life in Christ. And I don't want to get, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here, but just to say that chapter 11, they are witnesses of the greatness of God. And even in the smallest thing, we talked about Joseph. What was he listed in verse 22? By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That's why he's in this here chapter of faith. Well, you know, I, in the flesh, I would have said, well, oh, he was able to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, and he was able to create this government institution where they could collect all that food for 7 years, and then there was enough food for the 7 years of famine. You know, that would be my thinking in the flesh. But God's recording to us of what, for just this one example, Joseph, it was that He gave commandment concerning his bones that they would carry them to the promised land. Like they were still in Egypt. And this was before they became slaves in Egypt. This was when things were good in Egypt. And he had faith that God would fulfill what he had promised to Abraham, bring them into the land of Canaan. And so God uses that as an example of faith. And so these people are all witnesses to the greatness of God. And we went to at length with the faith of Moses. Well, first faith of Moses' parents, and then faith of Moses. And then concerning the faith of Moses, and talking about the faith of the children of Israel, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, we read, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. So it's talking about the children of Israel leaving Egypt in the exit. They came to the Red Sea, and they're trapped. They've got the army of Pharaoh behind them, chasing them. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. They got the rocks and the mountains on either side of them. 2 million of these people, maybe, around two and a half million people. And having just experienced great miracles of God in the plagues of Egypt and finally the Passover, they had fulfilled the Passover, and God spared the firstborn in their families, but there was no family in Egypt that wasn't touched by the death angel. Death angel killed the firstborn and all those in Egypt because they did not prepare the Passover lamb. Passover lamb. Shed the blood of the Passover lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. That is a foreshadowing of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so they were trusting in God to save them by his blood. That was, the blood of the lambs was not his blood, but it was a foreshadowing. It was a prophecy that Jesus Christ would be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And he did come. And so they caught in this position. This is the children of Israel, verse 29. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. God divided the waters. So there was water standing on one side like a wall and on the other side like a wall. And they were able to pass through on dry ground. And yet, when the Egyptian army came through, not only were they getting stuck in mud, but also their wheels were falling off. And then finally, when Israel was all safe on the other side, God brought the waters together again and drowned the whole army of Egypt. So stand with me if you're able to. Stand with me as we'll read Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 to get us started here in this section. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And we carry on in verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, that we could learn from thee. We pray that we could learn something to apply to our lives today and for the coming days and years until thou come again, or till we die and go to meet thee. We pray that we thank thee, we praise thy holy name, that thou art mighty, the almighty God, El Shaddai, that is omnipotent and all-knowing and everywhere present. And we just pray that you would provide for us this day spiritually. We pray also for a pastor for our congregation here. We also pray for Jeremy Johnson and Rebecca and his wife Rebecca and the family there. We pray for in South Africa the persecution they're under right now, and pray that thou would be protecting them, and pray that thou would protect the Bible school there, the church, and the 9 students that are there. And we thank thee for thy great love for us, and we know that you can protect us and you care for us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. So yeah, forgot to mention earlier about Jeremy Johnson, Pastor Jeremy there in South Africa. They were there's upheaval there, and they faced some of that. They've had to disassemble their church building there, their tent. They had a tent set up, and it just suffered so much vandalism. And then when they went to set up a fence in their new properties, they were stopped by rebels there. So they're under persecution. So, you know, just realize, we talked about Venezuela. talk about South Africa, talk about even different places here in our country. And there's, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 are represented everywhere in our world. Letters to the churches. So may we be a church that is seeking and doing God's will. Once you're saved, realize once you're saved, it's the will of God is your sanctification. That means being set apart, separate from sin. The whole point of getting saved was because we recognize how terrible sin is. We didn't repent from our sins as much as we repented from our sin, the fact that we are born in sin. We don't even know all our sins. What's the greatest commandment?
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Did you love the Lord thy God this morning? Every bit of your interaction with your family, with your, even in your thought life, whatever. Do we do that? I think every day. I think, Brother Arlen, how did you bring it out? I say, even the best, my best days are not so good, right? We thank God for his salvation. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, a lot of lost people are blind and they're thinking they're pretty good. And so God is protecting, God is keeping them blind because, we all have a degree of blindness because if we really saw God's holiness and righteousness, we would just die. But for the lost, God is very gracious. And at the right time, he'll reveal to these people, you're not so good. Lost people are not so good. That's how we got, how we became saved, right? A saved person is one who recognizes, I am undone. I am really wretched. We sang that in a song here just lately here, this one of these hymns. Wretched. We are wretched. We're not good. We're not like... When I went up to get, I went forward as a 7-year-old to get saved, I was thinking, well, I'm just going to, that's something good for me to do for God. I didn't get saved because that was the wrong thing. But later that night, I did get saved. Why? Because God revealed to me my sin. He revealed to me that I was a sinner. Why does a dog bark? Because he's a dog. We sin because we're sinners. I can bark all I want, but it doesn't make me a dog. Okay, that's what I'm saying is a dog barks because they are a dog. We sin because we're born in sin. You don't have to teach your children how to sin. They know that from the beginning. They know that right off the get, before they can talk, before they can walk. They're playing little games with mom and dad. They've been fed, they've got their diapers all clean and dry, everything's good, but they want attention. Me, me. So they're crying, and young parents, and I don't know this, but I'm an uncle with young children in the house, and so I know when they're playing those tricks, those deceptive games to try and get attention, because it's all about me. And so even the infants will do it. And later on, they lie. Lying is a big one. And that was something that God impressed on my heart before I got saved, like a year and a half, like when I was 5-something, 6. Yeah, I'd lied to my friend. I'd done other bad things too. But how am I going to get payment for my sin? And that night, my dad led me through John chapter 3, and the Holy Spirit used that verse to Nicodemus, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? And I'm going, whoa. Because I thought, why? Because my dad had just led me through the Romans road. Like in Romans and in John, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know you're a sinner? Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. And all that had gone through. And But it was only then, and God will do that for young people. Young people here, some of you have not trusted Christ for salvation. Pray to God. I was praying to God before I was saved. And God revealed himself to me. He revealed the fact that I was a sinner, lost, going to hell, even though I was like really good. You know, like, oh, what a fine boy. No. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And unless you know that, you can't be saved. What's the whole point of being saved? Unless you know you're lost.
Amen.
And I can go into detail on that too, but okay, this is a rabbit trail. Trying to get into Exodus here in chapter 15. And so it's the Song of Moses. And where did we see the Song of Moses before? We saw that in Revelation chapter 15. So it's interesting, like Genesis 15 and Revelation 15. So in Revelation 15, and when we were going through Revelation 15, I didn't know what to make of this in verse 3. But for now, anyway, I'm going to lump together Exodus 15, and you'll see that in your bulletin if you have a. How many people do not have a bulletin? You'd like a bulletin? You all got bulletins? Okay, so I wrote those, had those, Brother Arlen printed that off. I wrote down Hebrews 11:29, Exodus 15, and then Deuteronomy 31, 34 through 32, 52, and then Revelation 15, because they're all talking about Song of Moses. And but in chapter 15 of Revelation, we've already seen the seals have been opened, and we've seen the trumpet judgments, and now we're seeing these vile judgments, these bowl judgments of God's wrath being poured out, the final wrath of God being poured out on the world. And so that's going to happen starting in chapter 16. But here in chapter 15, and I saw another sign in the heavens, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So God is very patient. He's very patient, and his cup of wrath is being filled up. The world is thinking they're getting away with stuff, but no. Everything is recorded. Everything is in God's books there that will be opened up on the last day, not for to have a court case, but to have a sentencing for those that have not trusted in God. All their works will be shown that they are inadequate for salvation. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. That's talking about those that have victory. It's talking about that have victory over the Antichrist and over his mark, that mark of the Antichrist, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So some people say, well, heaven is just a place where we've got harps and we're just playing music all the time. That's where that imagery comes from. But to these people, they're thinking of heaven as being a place kind of like on earth, but it's not. It's something beyond our imagination, the scripture tells us. And they sing, verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So not only the song of Moses, but the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. All right. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord God? Going back to Exodus 15, we see this, after having this great victory over the army of Pharaoh and all of his soldiers being destroyed there in the closing of the Red Sea. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. So it wasn't just Moses, but all the children of Israel singing this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He hath become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. I will prepare for him an habitation. Is the Lord God inhabiting your heart? Is he in your life? Have you trusted his provision for salvation? Those in the armies of Pharaoh did not have God in their heart. They had not prepared a habitation in their heart for God. You can today. If you haven't, you can today. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. So he's not just this meek and mild, lowly one. Well, I shouldn't say he's not just. He is, because meekness is strength in control. That's really a meek person, is one that has the power, but has it under control. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. You know, they stood up as a heap, congealed. And the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Think of Satan as roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? It's a rhetorical question. There is no God greater than the Lord God of Israel. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people, which thou hast redeemed, which thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. So here and then carry on here. So verse 14, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sore shall take hold on the inhabitants of Philistina. Verse 15, then the dukes of Edom. Who are the dukes of Edom? They're the descendants of Esau. So as Jacob went into Egypt for a time, and then they ended up being slaves there. But back at home, back in the promised land, was Esau, who had wanted to kill his brother Jacob. And so now the descendants, verse 15, then the dukes of Edom, the descendants of Esau, shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, now who's Moab? It's the descendants of Lot, by incest with his daughters. Terrible, terrible things here. But there is salvation for them too. I mean, they will hear of the greatness of God, and the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Cana shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till the people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. And we know that if we have trusted Christ for salvation, we are that purchased possession of the Lord. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in Galatians 1:12. And then verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom that also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And so, yes, we are saved, and we're also being saved, and we will be saved. Salvation is adoption, being born again, is a one-time thing that occurs when you recognize your lostness and you recognize that Jesus Christ's blood is the only payment for your sin and that you receive it. So the Bible calls it repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's a song of Moses and the people singing, just thanking God for being delivered from that. But then there's the song of the Lamb. And so in here, they're also praising God for the Passover lamb that they had just experienced and the deliverance through the Red Sea. And so this is a picture to us of what salvation is. The blood shed for our atonement and the deliverance by the mighty hand of God. And so there's also another. So this is when they were going into the wilderness. This song they're singing of celebration. But then there's that next song in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31 and 32. It's mostly in 32, but 31 is an introduction to this part that in Deuteronomy 31. Now remember, the children of Israel, after they had crossed the Red Sea, they were murmuring. And as a result, those that were murmuring, they were not allowed to go into the promised land. Those that were above 20 years of age were not allowed to go into the promised land. Except for who? Two people. Caleb and Joshua. So the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And here's what Moses, who now is about 120 years old in Deuteronomy 31, verse 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in the book, until he had finished them, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And so chapter 32 is a song, and it looks like we're going to have part 3. Because this is getting into the exciting part of the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. But just as a brief introduction, chapter 32 is what's referred to as prophetic perfect. Prophetic perfect. And we've seen that in Revelation, where the future is spoken of as though it were as though it happened in the past. And so chapter 32 is very similar to that, this Song of Moses. We see, Lord willing, we'll be seeing that chapter 32 takes us all the way from creation through to the millennial kingdom. And I'll just maybe close on that point here. In the millennial kingdom, verse 43 of Deuteronomy 32. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And we see the Apostle Paul writing about this in Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 12. The Apostle Paul is saying, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've covered that before. Jesus Christ is the root of Jesse. And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. And so, for the most part, I think most of us here are Gentiles. After many of us, if we're Jews, we don't know that. God knows. But certainly this is a wonderful thing, that salvation is to all men, and all men have known that throughout all of history. But God, in an amazing way, has chosen the stiff-necked nation of Israel. He called them stiff-necked many times. To show what it is like that we can be God's chosen possession as believers in Christ and still sin. It's a terrible thing that believers sin, continue to sin. Now, you know what? Many believers, like certainly when you get saved, many things change in your life, like things that are external, like people can see, and so many things change in your life. That's wonderful. But you know, sin goes a whole lot deeper than the things that you can see on the outside. It's in my mind. It's in my heart. God is cleaning up. When a person gets saved, God is cleaning up their heart, their motivations, their attitudes. It goes deep. And so in this life, and you know that, those of you that are believers have trusted Christ for salvation, God, by his Holy Spirit, will point out things that, well, nobody knows about that. Like, what does anybody care that I should be concerned about having God's thoughts in this area? Well, as a believer, you go, praise God that I can have God's thoughts, godly thinking, godly attitudes, godly motivations. And so, there was one person said to me, says, you should never have, because I confessed a sin to a coworker that they weren't aware of. And it's just, you should never, well, he didn't know that. I said, I just confessed to having lied to that coworker. And he said, well, you should never be caught in a sin. You know, as a believer, you should never be caught in a sin. And he had that attitude, like, should never be caught. Like, what's it to a believer to be caught in a sin? Even if it's a secret, like, and that your coworker or your loved one would never know, but I mean, private sin requires private confession. Don't let me muddle the waters there. Private, if it's your thought life, confess that to God. But if you've actually done something against a brother, you need to confess that to them, brother or sister. And so, it's not about being caught in it. It's about coming clean and doing right before God. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into that. But if you don't understand what I'm talking about, if you don't know the Lord is your Savior, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful life. It's an abundant life. And it's eternal life. Eternal life starts at the moment of salvation. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's just bow and thank God. Dear God, we thank thee for thy great salvation, and we thank thee for thy word, how amazing it is, how it is all one united history of the world, history of us, of our even, it just bears our whole lives open and before thee. Thy word is sharper than a two-edged sword to do that. And we thank thee for this, and we pray that thou would continue to bless us by the hearing of thy word and the preaching of thy word and the meditating on thy word, that we can be those that are not saved, be saved, those that are saved, be growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for thy blessing as we go from here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.